It is not news that those who hold God's word as being truth and love God's word, that our world, we can see it is in trouble. It's sad the depths our society spirals down to and has, but perhaps even more sad is the lack of reaction or shock from this moral decline, especially within the church. Many professing Christians feel it's best to just accept the change of times and even go on to promote it. Today, in fact, throughout this whole month, sexual perversion has been celebrated publicly in parades and forced upon society. And they claim it's a celebration of love. Anytime you see these celebrations, they say it is all about love. But that couldn't be further from the truth, as we know. It's a celebration of lust. They call it pride and have adopted the rainbow as their symbol. And if only they knew why God gave us the rainbow that we see in the sky, they would not be proud, but truly humbled. In Genesis 9, after the flood, God tells us why he put that rainbow in the sky and the covenant that he established, that this rainbow was a sign of that covenant. In Genesis 9 and verses 11 to 16, we read of this covenant that was established with Noah, but for all generations afterwards. Verse 11 of Genesis 9, "And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow should be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you in every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow which shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and I will remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." This covenant that God established was an everlasting covenant. And we read that it's God's bow. He says it's mine. It's not man's. That he put it in the sky. And that it was given for all living creatures, for all generations, perpetual generations, as a symbol. It's a symbol of his grace, of his mercy and love. For he did not destroy the world completely for its incredible sinfulness, much like the sinfulness we see today. And God said that in the last days it would be as the days of Noah. But rather he spared mankind through the lineage of Noah and his family. And he spared two of every kind, as well as the seeds of vegetation, to grow on the earth, to replenish it, that the world would continue. Yes, the true meaning and symbolic reference of the rainbow is love, but it's God's love, for God is love. The rainbow is also mentioned a number of other times in the Bible. In Ezekiel 1, verse 28, Ezekiel has a vision of heaven, and he likens the appearance of the rainbow in the cloud on a rainy day to the appearance of the brightness of the glory of the Lord. We also read in Revelation 4 and in Revelation 10, it speaks of a rainbow talking about the glorious appearance of our Lord. This powerful symbol was meant to describe God's glory and show his love to man. But how man has perverted everything that God pronounces good and acceptable. So what does God say about love? And why is this a symbol of love? Well, we read of God's love in 1 John chapter 4 and verses 7 to 10. Among a number of other places, the entire Bible speaks of God's love. But 1 John 4, verses 7 to 10, tell us of the source of God's love. The source of love, of true love, comes from God. Verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Here God clearly and distinctly declares that love begins with him. If you know not love, then you know not God, and vice versa. If you know not God, you will know not the love. And if you want to know what God's love looks like, you just read his word. 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter 13, is a great description of what God's love looks like. This is not the love that the world professes, but that only can come from God. "For just as he was willing to spare a righteous man named Noah and his family from the flood and destruction that was so deserving of this world, so God once again displayed his love by sending his only begotten Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the appeasement for our sin debt, which we could not pay. The love of natural man is selfish lust, but the love of our holy God is selfless. It's perfect. That is the great distinction and divide between man and God, one that cannot be bridged by any works or any thoughts that we can have. It's a great chasm that only our Lord Jesus could bridge for man. John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus proclaims, "A new covenant I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." To love someone means you would be willing to tell them the truth in grace and mercy, and to not compromise in that truth. And so as Christians, our duty is to first love and serve our Lord, then to love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, but also to love the unrepentant in this world. It's easy to point out the sinfulness of this world because it's very blatant and it's in your face. But every morning we look in the mirror and we are reminded of the sinfulness that our Lord has saved each one of us out of. We are to stand for God's holy truth and not compromise in it, all while showing God's love, even while the world may not love us. Are we as Christians truly displaying God's selfless love in our day-to-day routines? This is the question we all must ask, and I ask of myself. Or are we just complaining and warring with the sinners of this world? We are not tasked to save the sinner. That's impossible with us. We are not even tasked with changing their heart. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But as Spirit-filled believers, we are tasked with standing for and living out God's truth as witnesses of our Lord Jesus' saving grace, to preach the gospel unashamed and tell them of the love of God to all mankind. Many in the world today have confused that meaning and definition of love. They substitute it with their lust of the flesh, all while painting over it with the title of love. They hide their guilt and shame in the shadows under the banner of love. Perhaps they know there is a holiness to love, and that's why they call it that. But true love is pure and unashamed. It does not hide. 1 Peter 4, verse 8 says it will cover the multitude of sins. That's the love that our Lord showed us. Willing to forgive when we come with repentant hearts. But we need to come with repentant hearts. This is the love of our Lord. It's available to all who simply repent and believe, and all who are willing to receive his love will begin to truly live out his love. And so may we be encouraged to share God's truth, to stand in it unashamed, and share it with the unrepentant love, the world of this world that we live in.